Well, good morning, everyone. And can I start off this morning by saying Merry Christmas. Welcome to Grace Anglican Church, especially if it's your first time with us. It's great to see some new faces, some old faces, some familiar faces. We have lunch after church. Can I encourage you to stay back afterwards? My name's Albie. If I haven't met you already, I'd love to meet you over lunch. And if this is your first time, it's for free, so more than welcome to stay back. In the back of the bulletin, there would be a phone number there. So we actually have a question and answer time after the service. After the sermon, I should say. So if any questions pop along, if you'd like to ask any questions, whether it's from the sermon or just something you've been thinking about, take a note of that. You've got two ways to ask it. You can either raise your hands during the Q&A time, or there's a phone number. And so you can send questions across that as we go. Well, I wonder this morning what it is that you came up with. What do you want for Christmas? What is it that you want the most? Now, it's not too late if you're here with a loved one. I heard a request for a puppy, for example. It's not too late. There's 3 shopping days left. There is still time to squeeze it in. I was trying to think for myself this particular question. If I had to come up with something, as I was sort of scanning my mind, I think I would want one of these. It's on the screen behind me. It's a roller copter. I don't know if you've seen them before. Now, for somebody who doesn't want much, and I've got most of the basics that I need, this is probably what I'd come up with. It's a helicopter surrounded by a cage. Now, I don't know. This is something quite new. It's brilliant. It can roll. And so it's a roller copter. That's the name of it. And you can see the possibilities of this gadget. Not only does it fly, but it doesn't crash. You won't break this thing. And so it means that you can use it indoors where it can crash into all sorts of things. Last week, somebody had bought one of those helicopters. It's got the 4 wings and it can actually fly away. And that's exactly what it did. It flew away because it was used outdoors and it disappeared into the distance. That was last week, I think, during the working bee. It was gone. Opened that morning and gone for the rest of his life. And yet the roller copter, you can use this indoors. It can crash into all sorts of things because it can fly and it can roll. And so you can imagine it can roll off the walls, the floors, the ceiling, even off your kids. This toy would be great. And I suspect all the women are thinking how ridiculous. I'm imagining all the men are thinking how awesome. How about you? What do you want for Christmas? And I want to encourage you to actually think big. If you could ask for anything in the world, what do you want for Christmas? Now, I guess how you answer that question will depend on your situation. And so I think about a few friends of mine. I think about a friend who's having a hard time at work. And whenever the topic of work comes up, you can almost see it in her eyes that this weight that crushes down upon them. That's what work is for them. And so I know that for them, for Christmas, what they'd want is a new job. Or maybe even better, a new manager. Or another friend of mine who has cancer, I know what they want for Christmas, that when the tests come back, that it says cancer-free. Or a couple of friends whose son was in hospital and had a life-threatening condition. And so they'd see their son lying there in hospital, they'd be going in and out, not knowing if he'd make it. I know what they want for Christmas, to see their boy grow up and to be strong and healthy. What do you want for Christmas? Even if you cast your mind just this past week, it's been a crazy week, hasn't it? Here in Sydney, and then in Pakistan the next day. If you could have anything for Christmas, maybe it would be peace. To have a world that had no war, a world that had no conflict, no murder, no terrorism. Wouldn't that be great? To have peace. And yet it's one of those answers that we probably don't write on our shopping list. One of those things that we don't wish for. We don't ask that for Santa. It's the sort of thing that Miss Universe says because we know it's a fantasy world. It's a dream world. It's never going to happen. Or is it? Just maybe. Because in Isaiah chapter 9 that was read out for us, we actually see what Christmas is all about. This is God's version of the Christmas message. The gift that he gives us, if only we would open it. And the first thing he gives us at Christmas is there in verse 2. He gives us a great light. Let me read out verse 2. If you've got the Bible open in front of you, that'd be great. Otherwise, it'd be on the screen behind. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. That's what Christmas is about. It's a great light. Now, a few years ago, we gave Chloe, our 7-year-old, we gave her a present. It was a torch. It was one of those torches that was shaped like a cow. And when you squeeze it, it was one of those hand-pumped torches, it would turn on. And so there's two ways you could use this torch. Either you could use a battery or you could pump it with your hand. You know where that torch is now? It's at the bottom of a box. I don't think she's touched it for ages. And the reason for that is because she doesn't need it. She lives in a world full of light. She doesn't need a torch. She has a light switch. And so there it is at the bottom of a box. You need a light when it's dark, but she lives in a world that's not full of darkness. And yet at the same time, we've got some friends who live in Malawi, who's got a child the same sort of age, has three kids just like we do. And what they asked for, what they wanted for a gift, was also a hand-pumped torch. They wanted those hand-crank torches because over there they actually need it. Because for them, part of life is actually having blackouts. And so they live in a world of darkness. And in a world of darkness, you need a light. Otherwise, all you do is that you leave this gift at the bottom of a box. And yet that's what so many people do with the gift that God gives us. They leave it there at the bottom of the box. Because if you don't know that you're in darkness, God's gift, that's all it is. It's there. You don't need it. Just rotting away at the bottom of a box. Not even unwrapped, not used. But I think for us this week, if anything, it reminds us that we are living in a time of darkness, isn't it? You know, when we should all be celebrating, when we should all be excited by all the Christmas cheer, you go through Martin Place and it becomes all quiet. This past week has been full of it, the madness of the hostages in Martin Place, as Katrina Dawson and Tory Johnson killed, just like that. We're surrounded by darkness when we turn our minds just the next day to Pakistan, 149 killed, and most of them children. Just 2 days ago, in Cairns, another 8 killed in a house, all of them children. And I think it's during this time that Martin Place, you know, when you actually think about the way that it has gripped us, when all these things happen on a daily basis in places like Iraq or Syria, I think it's because we realize with Martin Place, it could have been us. It could have been us. Because it's not just overseas. It's not just things that happen in America or Iraq or Afghanistan. This is here. Here in Sydney, where it's supposed to be safe, a place where it's supposed to be full of light. And I think it's the same thing with, if you just cast your mind a few weeks back again, with Philip Hughes. Philip Hughes, a person which only maybe a quarter of the room would have known beforehand, a cricketer who was killed by a cricket ball. And yet again, it just gripped the nation's attention. Because again, all of a sudden, it could have been just one of us playing backyard cricket, doing just the normal things that normal Australians do. Death was all of a sudden much closer than we used to. And whether it's Martin Place or Philip Hughes, it's an unavoidable reminder of what verse of what Isaiah 9 tells us. We live in the land of the shadow of death. Death is a terrible darkness, and it just hangs over us. I think usually we can get away with ignoring it, and yet this past week it's there right in front of our eyes and we can't avoid it. But Christmas is great news. That's why verse 2 is even more exciting, because it's a great light. And what happens when light comes? Darkness disappears, even the darkness of death. Let me read verse 2 to you again. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On us, on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. We live in a world where all of a sudden darkness, death, has become that much more light. But even more amazing than that, even more amazing than this, is the fact that there is a darkness which is worse. There is a darkness which is worse than even death, and that's a darkness of ignoring God. Because the main fight that we have actually isn't between people. It's not between us and those overseas. It's not between us and the terrorists. The main fight that we have is actually between us and God. Now, we might not realize the fact that we are in this darkness. We might not realize that we are at war with God, naturally by ourselves. Because maybe you're somebody who politely ignores God. Yeah, you get on with life, but he's not really part of it. You just ignore him. Or maybe you're somebody who really doesn't want anything to do with him. And you're like a friend of mine who, on the one hand, his wife, actually, she's okay with God stuff. And yet most of her life, she ignores him. But for him, he doesn't want to have a bar of church. He doesn't want to actually know who this God is. He actively goes against it. Maybe you're in that category. But either way, none of us treats God as we should. None of us live with him as God and King. It doesn't matter if you're politely ignoring him. It doesn't matter if you're shaking your fist at him. Because what we all do is that we enjoy God's gift, all the things that he gives us, especially at Christmas. You think about the things that we enjoy over the next few days. We enjoy family and friends and food and fun. We enjoy all the gifts, but we ignore the giver. And it's a simple illustration when you just think about what it would be like with our kids. We've got three of them at Christmas. Imagine we give them the best gift ever. We give them a soccer ball. We give them a bag full of lollies. A dinosaur as big as they are. Maybe even a roller coaster for each of them. And imagine that they unwrap the gifts and then they grab them and then they just run off without even saying a thank you. Now that would be bad manners, wouldn't it? Of course it would be. But then it comes to dinner. It's the end of the day and Dawn's cooked this beautiful dinner. It's something she does out of the ordinary. That it's turkey, it's gravy, it's mashed potato, peas and corn, even ice cream for dessert, something they never get. And it's not just that they don't say thank you. We give them everything they need. And yet, they ignore us. They don't want to have a relationship with us. Now, that's more than rude, isn't it? And to ignore God is the most terrible crime in this universe. Because you and I, we don't like being ignored. And yet, what makes us think that we can get away with the God who gives us everything and we ignore him? What makes us think that we'll get away with that? And the Bible tells us we won't. We won't get away with it because one day all of us are going to have to come face to face with God and give an account. To give an account of all that we've done. And there's no excuse in front of God. All there is the right judgment of God. And that is the darkness. That is a darkness which is far worse than death. That is a darkness that we're all in. But Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, a great light, a light that has dawned because the one that we've ignored, the very one that we've ignored, he has sent a light into the world to chase away the darkness. That is what Christmas is about, a great light. But of course, if we think that we're not in darkness, if we think that we're not living in a land that is in the shadow of death, or we think that there's no darkness of actually ignoring God, if we don't think we're in darkness, what we're going to do is just leave that gift at the bottom of the box. We're not going to open it. We're not going to use it. This morning, can I ask you, have you ever taken this present? Have you used it? Do you know this light that deals with the darkness that we're all in? Christmas is about a great light. But second, Christmas is about an amazing child. Look at verse 6. Let me read that out. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, that's actually a bit of a surprise. Well, at least it should be. Because what we've been talking about up to this point, when we've been talking about darkness, we've been talking about the most significant, the most important issues in the universe. We've been talking about war and peace. We've been talking about being in the shadow of death, the darkness of ignoring God. And the Bible tells us the solution is a baby. Now, babies are cute, aren't they? Babies can bring joy into the world, but they don't solve problems. You don't bring world peace by having a baby. It doesn't work that way. Now, some children arrive into this world and there are great expectations put upon them. Prince William is one example. Great expectations upon that baby, who's in line to the throne. Or Kim Kardashian's child, Northwest. I'm sure there's great expectations upon her, especially with a name like that. There's got to be something big coming out of this little child. But do you see the expectations of this baby? This baby that we read in Isaiah 9 is not just any baby. The government will be on his shoulders, far more than Prince William. He's going to be king. And do you see those names in verse 6? Actually, they're not really names. They're titles of who this baby's going to be. No prizes for who this baby is. He's a wonderful counselor. It means that he has all the wisdom of God. And wouldn't it be great to have a ruler like that? Don't we need rulers like that? Yeah, a king who actually knows how to balance the budget and how to make things work. A king who's got the wisdom to know what to do with Syria or ISIS. Don't we need a ruler like that? A king with all the wisdom of God who gives meaning to life. You know, when we run around not knowing what life is about, why we're getting caught up in all sorts of things, he's the one who gives meaning to life. And he's the one who gives us good and wise rules to live by, even today. Wonderful counselor, mighty God, this one is the one who's in control of life. And again, don't we need a ruler like that, a ruler who is powerful? We have rulers, we have kings, we have governments who don't know, who can't protect borders, who can't protect countries, who can't protect even a single life. Don't we need a ruler like that when the world seems to be crazy and spinning out of control? Whether that's society at large or our own lives and what's happening in that. A king who is powerful over the storms of life, over sickness and death, whatever it is. Everlasting Father, which for Isaiah would have been confusing. How could the Everlasting Father, how could God become one of us? And yet at Christmas time, that's exactly what happens in Jesus. God becomes one of us. And he's the Prince of Peace. Peace between us and God. Because this baby grows up and he lives a life that none of us could live. He lives a life which is perfect, which is righteous. And he dies a death. He dies that death which hangs over all of us like a deep, dark shadow. Because this baby grows up to become the man, Jesus Christ. And he dies 2,000 years ago on the cross and he takes our place. And even though we're the ones who ignore God, even though we're the ones who deserve God's punishment, Jesus says to us, I love you. Even though you rebelled against God, I love you and I'll take your place. I'll die so that you don't have to. See, at Christmas time, if Christmas is all about the baby Jesus, there's all sorts of fun things that take place. Babies bring joy into the world. When you have a baby or you're surrounded by babies, they just bring a smile to the face, unless they're crying and screaming. If they're not your baby, they still bring a smile to your face. Babies bring joy for a time. And that's what happens at Christmas time, that if Jesus is a baby, it brings joy that this is a time which is festive. And you go through the shops and even complete strangers will give you a smile. The shop assistant will be nice to you. At Christmas time, it brings joy for a while because you actually have holidays from work. And yet in January, you have to go back again. Babies bring joy for a time. But if Christmas is about the man Jesus Christ, who dies on the cross, well, this is not joy which lasts for a time. This is joy which lasts for a lifetime. And beyond that, because this is all about, all of a sudden, forgiveness, where the darkness of death has been wiped out and the darkness of our rebellion against God has gone. It's been eradicated. This morning, as you think about Christmas, have you looked beyond the baby Jesus? Because if all you see is that baby Jesus away in a manger, where you sing songs about this cute and cuddly, this innocent little child, then you'll miss out on the best present at Christmas time. You'll miss out on what Christmas is all about. A great light, an amazing child, and last of all, Christmas is all about a perfect kingdom. Look at the promises of verse 7. What it talks about, this baby, this promise that was made 700 years before Jesus was born, so that we would understand and understand what Christmas is all about. Let me read from verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. A kingdom which lasts. This is God telling us what the future is going to look like. What our future is going to look like if only we'll come to Jesus. And it's a magnificent picture that we get here, isn't it? A world of peace and righteousness. No more injustice. No more terrorists or criminals getting away with whatever it is that they commit, whatever crimes it is. There is justice here. A new beginning with a perfect ruler. Jesus ruling in his world with no more terrorism, no more shootings, sickness or suffering, death or mourning or crying or pain. A perfect future. Forever. 100 years ago, it was 1914, 100 years ago. It was December 25th, 8:30 in the morning, not that far away from where we are today. It was World War I. And imagine being there in the trenches. You've been fighting for the entire year. On the other side, not far away, just 30 or 60 yards away, the Germans are there, bunkered down in their trenches, the enemy. And as you're fighting, a matter of life and death, that struggle to see who will win and who will be killed. Can you imagine that across no man's land, that area that no one will tread because it's right there in the crossfire of the machine guns? It comes a sound not of gunfire, but on December 25th, the sound of singing, the sound of carols. Because that's what happened 100 years ago. Here's what Captain Sir Edward Hulse said about it as he wrote down this account and sent it to his mother. He said, "I was looking out and saw four Germans leaving their trenches and come towards us. Their spokesman started off by saying that he thought it was only right to come over and wish us a happy Christmas. The Christmas Day truce. And soon you had troops from both sides standing there, the place that no one dared to tread because it meant death, standing there in no man's land, swapping souvenirs, swapping addresses with each other, having haircuts, sharing cigarettes, taking photos. They even brought out a soccer ball and had a game." This is what the German lieutenant, Kurt Zemisch, wrote in a diary as well. "The English brought a soccer ball from the trenches, and pretty soon a lively game ensued. Apparently the score was 3-2 to the Germans." His diary goes on, "How marvelously wonderful, yet how strange it was. The English officers felt the same about it as well. Christmas, the celebration of love, managed to bring mortal enemies together as friends for a time." Now, I think that's a lovely story, isn't it? Almost 100 years ago. But Christmas is much more than that. It's not just about peace between the Germans and English. Christmas is about peace between us and the living God. And it's about a peace which doesn't just last for a day, doesn't just last for a football match. This is peace in verse 7 that has no end, and it goes forever. A perfect kingdom, an amazing future, and this is the crucial part. This is the crucial part. Whether we enjoy this or not, it all hangs on what we do with Jesus. All of it. It hangs off what we do with Jesus. Whether or not we take this present that he offers us, whether we accept the sacrificial death on our behalf, whether we unwrap that present or we just leave it there at the bottom of a box. It's a great future, a perfect kingdom. But only those who submit to the King now will be part of the kingdom then. Only those who submit to the King now will be part of the kingdom then. Anyone who asks for peace, though, can be sure of the answer, because the Prince of Peace, the King of everything, he will happily accept you into his kingdom. no matter what you've done, no matter how much darkness you walk in. And maybe you're somebody here who actually needs to accept that gift. Maybe you're somebody who actually has never opened that box, or you know, it's actually just been sitting there. You've known about it, but Jesus has just remained a baby and you just remain in darkness. If that's you, I'd love to talk to you after the service. There's going to be there's the response cards in front of you. Hopefully, the ushers have enough. I'm going to actually see the ushers. How many response cards do we have? Because what I actually love to do is to give this Christmas an opportunity for all of us to grapple with what Christmas, what it means for us. That if this is actually something that you've actually never accepted, then wouldn't today be a great day to accept that peace? In the same way 100 years ago, that was a great day to accept that peace that lasted for a day, but this is peace with God. Or maybe you're somebody who's here and you're actually still wanting to find out more about Christianity. Don't just leave it. Don't just leave it hanging. Actually look into it. Grab a copy of the New Testament when you go out. There's actually plenty at the back. It's called The Essential Jesus. You'll find them on the bookshelves on the way back. Write down again that you'd like to find out more about Christianity. We would love to meet up with you and read the Bible. Maybe you're here today and you're already a Christian. And I suspect a lot of us in that situation. Can I encourage you? Can I just say, as your brother and as your friend, amidst all the busyness, take this morning an opportunity to actually stop and to be blown away by how amazing Christmas really is. Yeah, as you go out there and you think about your shopping list, as you go about the work and you know, things are sort of quiet on the train, as you go to your Christmas dinners and you're working out which side of the family do I do things with, stop and think how amazing the gift really is. As we look at Isaiah 9, what God says Christmas is all about. It's a great light to the darkness we live in. An amazing child who is born 2,000 years ago. A perfect kingdom. And wouldn't it be great this morning to say, just like it did in the diary, how marvelously wonderful, yet how strange to bring us and God together as friends. Not for a time. That's not long enough. To bring us and God together as friends, to bring peace that lasts forever. Why don't we pray as we finish this morning?